So what do ISU students think of their college town showing up on a list of the top 10 places with the most new COVID cases per capita?
And it's kind of embarrassing in a sense, seeing our numbers so high and being nationally ranked for that.
That's ISU senior Kate McCarthy. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, September 9th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the latest on the coronavirus in McLean County. Just 26 new cases of COVID-19 were reported yesterday. That's the lowest single-day tally in about 3 weeks. One big reason, however, is a slowdown in testing at Illinois State University. Its testing sites for asymptomatic students were closed for 4 straight days over Labor Day weekend. ISU senior Kate McCarthy says she and her roommates are relying on those tests. She's tested negative twice since moving back down to Normal from Oswego last month.
And it's kind of embarrassing in a sense, seeing our numbers so high and being nationally ranked for that.
Over 1,300 students have tested positive so far, about 6% of the student body. That's more than at many other Midwest public universities. All of Kate McCarthy's classes are now online, and she applauds the university for treating student workers like her well last spring when campus abruptly shut down. But now she says ISU leaders should have done more to stop COVID from spreading at off-campus apartments.
What do you expect when a whole bunch of college kids come back after being deprived of social interaction during COVID, like they're going to party?
McCarthy says she's taking precautions, really only sees her roommates and her boyfriend. That's it.
It's always a worry in the back of my head anytime I walk outside, like, oh, I could be getting it.
Of the 26 new cases reported yesterday, 6 were children. That makes 13 children testing positive in the last 2 days. McLean County's testing positivity rate fell for the second straight day, down to 10.6%. Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Governor J.B. Pritzker is criticizing Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell's latest COVID relief proposal. He says state and local governments need help from Congress to avoid laying off teachers and public safety officers. State governments are not included in McConnell's plan. Prosecutors have dismissed charges against former Unit 5 first grade teacher Jonathan Hovey. He was accused of sexually assaulting 2 children and pleaded not guilty. And former ISU president Gene Buttig, who would later become the president of Major League Baseball's American League, has died at the age of 81. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. All eyes were on Minneapolis after George Floyd's killing while in police custody. Then it was Kenosha after Jacob Blake's shooting. For Black Americans, the repetition of police violence can bring a sense of hopelessness. That's what it felt like for Miltonette Craig, an assistant professor of criminal justice at Illinois State University. She's researched police community relations, race, ethnicity, and crime. She tells WGLT student reporter Tiffany Jackson what's been on her mind since Kenosha.
The fact that we continue to see this going on and on and on again, and with every new incident, they continue to minimize it. I don't know how much louder we can speak to show that this is a problem. And so, you know, we've had our focus on George Floyd, and then we found out about Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and Elijah McCain. And so this is just 2020, and then here we go again.
What are some proven tactics for improving community police relations, and how do we scale that up nationwide?
There has to be this concept of legitimacy in the eyes of the community that is being policed. So there has to be the idea that this law enforcement agency is here to protect us, as opposed to, you know, make problems for us, to harass us, or to just lock us up for no reason. It is up to the agency to begin the outreach. They are the authority figures in these situations, and they are aware that their perceptions are not positive from a lot of community members. So I believe that there should be outreach teams in these departments that make it a point to connect to community members. Maybe it won't be a good idea to just park in a disadvantaged high crime neighborhood and walk up door to door. That image doesn't look friendly based on their prior circumstances. But the department can say, okay, here is the pastor of one of the most well-attended churches. Let's set up a meeting so that I can explain why I want to have a better relationship with the community, and you can help me facilitate that. Maybe I can visit the church and speak with people in a manner in which is not threatening, right? And so you use those, you know, if they're community elders or those people who are well-respected in the community, and start to open the door. And then once the door is open, you continue to reinforce the idea that we are here to protect and serve. And so once the community sees the police as legitimate, then they are more likely to assist.
Have you experienced or witnessed any racist events yourself while being here? I'm wondering if something occurred that kind of keeps the fuel going in your drive to continue pursuing this field.
I'm glad that on a personal level, I have not experienced those things, but I see when other people do, and it's most disheartening when I hear about negative interactions involving my students. And so it is a constant thing for them to have to go through. I'm not only when we talk about civilians who may be discriminatory, you know, having to get pulled over multiple times a week, and people may see it just as, oh, well, it's an inconvenience. It's not. It actually is something that can terrorize individuals experiencing these interactions.
See the rest of this interview with Professor Milton at Craig at WGLT.org. Before we let you go, the McLean County Board of Health will meet today at 5:30. They'll discuss contact tracing efforts, and the Bloomington Human Relations Commission will meet at 5. They'll discuss police funding issues. That is it for today. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.